At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We come to you every Wednesday. I'm your host, Claude Harmon. Going to do a solo episode of the pod this week, but wanted to take a moment and thank our partners at Rapsodo. If you've been listening to the pod, you know that I'm a big fan of their launch monitors, and I really like the MLM. It utilizes Doppler radar, so you can use it with your iPhone or your iPad. And the thing I like about this, it's under $300, right? So a lot of the launch monitor technology out there, a little bit more expensive. And I think launch monitor technology is getting, you know, cheaper and cheaper because different companies like Rapsodo are saying, okay, how can we help the regular golfers? Yes, if you've got thousands upon thousands of dollars, there are different models you can buy. You see them on tour. But for the everyday golfer that's just trying to get better, you're going to get remarkable accuracy. You can use this indoor or outdoor. It's portable. And the cool thing is, so the shot tracer that we're used to seeing on TV behind all the players shows you the shape of the shot. The MLM has that, has performance combines. And again, as I mentioned earlier, under $300. I just think if you're trying to get better at your golf, having this type of technology for this price allows you to look at a lot of the same numbers that the best players in the world are looking at. So obviously I work with players that are winning majors, winning tournaments, play all over the world. But when I'm not on tour, I work with regular everyday golfers, and I'm always trying to figure out ways that they can get better. And I think for under $300, you can use it with your iPhone. It doesn't really take that much to set up. It's simple to use, and you're going to get really, really good feedback, and you're going to understand your numbers better. They've reacted my promo code just for listeners. Use promo code CH3 for $50 off the MLM plus the Premier Membership Bundle. The membership unlocks combines as well as session insights, slow motion replay, and video storage up to 10,000 videos. So again, the promo code is CH3 for $50 off the MLM launch monitor, plus the premium membership bundle. Rapsodo is making fantastic products. I'm a huge fan. Check them out. They can help you with your game. So I wanted to talk today about the difference between working with elite tour players and everyone else that I teach. I just got back from a fairly lengthy 3 weeks on the road, and it was probably 9 out of the last 11. But when I got back, straight into golf lessons today, and you know, it's interesting. I think when you're working with really, really good elite tour players, I mean, I think that I probably spend more time on just when, you know, when you're looking, I mean, specifically the guys that I work with, you know, Brooks, DJ, Pat Perez, but when I look back at kind of all of the players, you know, both on the men's and the women's side that I've been lucky enough to work with, I wouldn't say they're so, I mean, it's not nearly as technical as I think everyone thinks it is, at least not for me. Maybe that's just me and the way that I teach. But I mean, if I look at really since before the Masters, if I look at kind of the way Brooks has been trending and the way Brooks has been playing, the majority of the work that I think we've done over the last month to a month and a half has basically been predominantly, where Brooks is concerned, setup related, right? Ball position basics. And, you know, I've mentioned this a couple times on the pod, but that's not the sexy stuff right now in 2023, right? There aren't a lot of people making, you know, Instagram or YouTube videos about grip, stance, posture, and alignment. And it's something that I think is still very, very important. But I think it's probably more important. I mean, yes, it's important for the average golfer. The right grip, the right setup, the right posture, the right alignment. But specifically from, you know, an elite tour player, you know, standpoint, these guys have so much speed, right? They're all swinging the golf club now. You know, everybody, you know, it seems like everybody on tour is, you know, over 170 ball speed, over 115 to 118, you know, over that in club head speed. So when the basics and when just the basic fundamentals get off, good players can hit the golf ball miles offline because they have so much speed, right? They already are swinging the golf. So in Brooks's case with a driver, Brooks is, you know, over 120 miles per hour club head speed and, you know, over 180 mile per hour ball speed. So when his grip, his posture, his stance, his alignment, his ball position, when something gets off before he's hitting the golf ball, because he's already got so much speed, he can start hitting the golf ball miles offline. And so sometimes it's, and I would say, well, most times, it's a slight tweak here or there. Yes, every player has their own kind of swing signature, their own swing DNA. And so all of the players that I work with, they all kind of have their own idiosyncrasies and their own way of doing things. But one of the things that I'm always checking is what they are doing in their setup. And listen, everybody has, you know, from a tour standpoint, a lot of people have, you know, there isn't necessarily one setup. There are guys that, you know, play with the golf ball a little bit more forward in their stance. There are guys that maybe like it a little bit more back in their stance. There are players that tend to get or like to get a little bit closed in their setup. There are players that like to get a little bit open. So, you know, from a tour standpoint, I think setups and they're very, very, I think in 2023, they are unique because not everybody has the same kind of setup. But having said that, you have to look at what a player is doing and kind of know what their DNA is. And, you know, specifically for the guys, you know, that I work with, Brooks and DJ both like to fade the golf ball. So we're looking at things that we can do in their setup that are going to help them be able to consistently fade the golf ball. First and foremost, for both of them, if the ball gets back in their stance, it's going to cause problems, right? They're not going to be able to hit the golf ball the way they want to, specifically if they're trying to fade it, because if the golf ball gets too far in, back in the stance, they're going to catch it too early in circle, and they can't really get the path where they need it to be. Now, if you are trying to hit draws, ball up in your stance probably isn't going to help you because it's going to mess up your posture. It's going to mess up your alignment, but it's also going to mess up where you're catching the golf ball. So specifically with Brooks and DJ, trying to make sure that they make sure they keep that golf ball forward. So a lot of times it's just basic. They can be hitting it quite poorly, and then we can make a small, minor, little tweak to the alignment, and that all of a sudden changes everything, right? It changes the way they're catching the golf ball. one of the things that we've been seeing, even though he hasn't necessarily hit every golf shot perfect, really Brooks for about the last month to month and a half has been hitting the golf ball as solid as I've seen him hit it, maybe ever. And the misses are solid. So the misses are in the middle of the club face. So anytime the misses are solid, we're going to look at, is that mechanics or is that kind of something that's happening before he hits the golf ball? So he's still fighting right now, having the golf ball too far back in his stance, which then closes his shoulders a little bit too much, which then tends to get him aiming a little bit more to the right. So a lot of what I've been doing over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks is just been, you know, standing face on and just saying, hey, listen, let's get the ball positioned a little bit more forward. If you've watched any of his warmups, you've also noticed his caddy, Ricky Elliott. Every now and again, he'll call Ricky in and he'll have Ricky kind of get into his stance. So Brooks will take his stance. He'll go ahead and take his club, the head of his golf club, and kind of put it where his right toe is. Ricky will stand in there. He'll step back and then he'll do that for the left foot as well. And so you'll see Brooks do that a lot, kind of go and look and say, okay, where's the ball position? Where is it? You know, where's the setup? And so we, as guys on Brooks's team, we're definitely second pairs of eyes for him because he can't see himself. And I've talked about that a lot on the pod as well. I mean, a lot of people ask me, hey, you know, when I see you on TV standing behind these guys at tournaments, you're not really saying that much. I mean, that's 100% by design. And I'm trying to say as little as I possibly can because warmups, specifically warmups before rounds, there's not really a lot that you can do, right? The players are going to go play and they've kind of got to play with what they've got. And I mean, it was really interesting. Brooks, even though he won at Oak Hill, won the PGA, his fifth major, he didn't feel like he was hitting it that great. He felt, and I definitely felt, and I know Ricky Elliott, his caddy, felt the same. He hit it much better at Augusta, but he didn't win at Augusta, and he didn't hit it that great. His warm-up on Sunday at Oak Hill was, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it a 6 or a 7. At Augusta on Sunday before the final round, I'd give it a 15. That's how much better it was, but he didn't win that day. And he was able to get it done on Sunday at Augusta. I mean, at Oak Hill, he wasn't able to get it done Sunday at Augusta at the Masters. But he was hitting it better at the Masters than he was hitting it at Oak Hill. But I think that just goes to what I've talked about a lot on the pod is technique versus execution. I mean, he was fighting a little bit of a setup, and so the setup has a lot to do with how he hits the golf ball. DJ's a little bit of the same, right? When DJ's kind of basics get off, again, grip, stance, posture, alignment, DJ's tendency is it's the distance from the golf ball that he tends to get, right? He can get sometimes a little bit too far away from the golf ball, which can really have a dramatic effect on how he strikes the golf ball. And then, you know, we're always looking at what players do and kind of monitoring kind of their kind of DNA, right? What is it that we know makes them really good players? And I think after working with, you know, both Brooks and DJ for, you know, over a decade, you kind of have a really good idea of where they are. So I'm constantly, I think it's really important for everyone listening, take videos of your setup. Take videos from face on and then take videos from down the line. And, you know, especially if you get into really good, you know, spells of good ball striking. That's one of the things on Sunday at Oak Hill, you know, right before Brooks is getting ready to tee off. I mean, obviously he's got a chance to win, you know, a major championship. He's playing good. He's swinging the golf club well. So I want to document that and get an idea of what he's doing. So I take a lot of video and, you know, Brooks and DJ, they want a lot of video. They like looking at their golf swing. DJ probably maybe a little bit more so than Brooks. Brooks, he likes to look at, you know, videos. He has his things that he likes to look at. So most of the time, I've got my idea of what I'm saying to Brooks and I'll say, hey, listen, These are the things I think we need to do, which all of which he agrees with, but he'll kind of take my phone every now and go, let me go and take a look at that and just run it myself, because he's looking for his own things, right? So the player will have things that they're looking for in their golf swing, and the coach will have, the instructor will have things they're looking for. I think we're definitely both on the same page with that. But I think you want to make sure that you're taking video of your golf swing, video of your setup, both face on and down the line, so you can have a good idea of what a good setup for you looks like. So if you're hitting really good shots on the range and you're in a practice session and you're flushing it and it looks pretty good, go ahead and take a video of what you look like it's set up, both, you know, face on and down the line. So you've got that. So you know that if you get to a place where you're not hitting it well, you can then go back and video yourself and say, okay, let me just go ahead and eliminate all of the things I'm doing before I hit the golf ball, right? All of the things that don't take any athletic or golf ability, because it doesn't take any athletic or golf ability to set up to a golf ball in the right way, right? To have the right distance, to have the right alignment, to get your hands in the right place, to get your grip in the right place. All of those things are really, really vital. And I just think that sometimes people completely overlook basics. You know, they overlook what's happening before you're actually swinging the golf club. And I think if golfers paid more attention to that and were really, really hyper-vigilant on their setup, I think it will definitely help your ball striking. You know, being consistent with where your ball position is, being consistent with where your hands are at address. That was another thing that happened to Brooks at Oak Hill. His hands had just gotten a little bit back on Thursday. He said he felt it on the golf course. Why? I don't know. You know, these guys aren't robots. They're not machines. They're going to, you know, do some things. So really, it was kind of a quick fix to where we were just able to go to the range and just move the hands a little bit more forward, then the ball position, then all of the things that we were trying to work on just kind of fall into line. But definitely check your ball position, check your alignment, check your posture, and get good images of that you've got with you, so that if you're not playing the way you want to, if your ball striking isn't the way you want it, you can then go, okay, let me go back to 3 weeks ago where I was playing really, really well. That's why I've got, you know, 10, 11, 12,000 videos on my phone, because it's a catalog. I've got albums for Brooks. I've got albums for DJ. I've got albums for Pat Perez. And I just dump all of the videos in there. So I've got all of this stuff that I can go look at. And every now and again, you know, a player will say to me, hey, you know, last year, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever, do you have any videos from that practice session or that day or that tournament or that week? And we can always then go and compare and contrast what they're doing before they hit the golf ball. So I think it's not sexy, it's not glamorous, but really, really important. And then obviously in the lessons that I give on a regular basis to just average regular golfers, I think setup is hugely, hugely important. I think alignment is probably the thing that I see most in golf lessons that I give at home when I'm not on tour. I think a lot of people really, really struggle with what happens before they make a golf swing. And a lot of times it can be a slight change in alignment. It's a generalization, but I would say the majority of the golfers that I see tend to have the anti-slice setup. So they're closed with their feet and their shoulders are open. And with irons, a lot of times you'll see players that are in that setup. You know, they've read all the books and the magazines and heard all of the things that say, listen, if you want to draw it, you know, aim to the right, get closed with your chest, get closed with your shoulders, get closed with your feet. But I think a lot of times, because they're slicing the golf ball's going to the right, they're aiming massively to the right, but then because they're so tired of hitting the golf ball to the left, to the right, they're going to aim their shoulders instinctively more to the left. And with irons, it's generalization, but I see more players struggle with the ball being too far forward at address with their irons than I see it being too far back. And I think the reason for that is, for some, I wish I actually knew the reason for that. For some reason, it's a generalization, but when the golf ball with the irons gets too far forward in their stance, rarely do I see someone get too closed in their setup. What we tend to see is if that ball position gets too far forward with an iron, because the clubs are shorter, it's easier for you to set up to it and the shoulders are going to be open. So probably the most common setup mistake that I see is feet aiming to the right, shoulders aiming to the left. And so a lot of times it's, you work the opposite, right? You'll say to a player, okay, feel like you're a little bit open with your feet and then feel like you're a little bit more closed with the shoulders. And if we can get you into that setup position, if I can get the player to feel like their shoulders aren't so wide open, when they go ahead and address the golf ball with their shoulders a little bit more square and their shoulders a little bit more neutral, now they see how far forward that golf ball is, right? That golf ball starts to get really, really, really far forward in their stance because now their chest is square and it's not open. And then that's an opportunity for me as an instructor and as a coach to say, okay, now we move that golf ball back to a little bit more of a neutral position. And that's going to help you with your ball flight. It's going to help you with your contact. It's going to help you with a lot of things. But I mean, I don't practice without an alignment stick down. There are tour players that are religious. DJ is one that definitely always has an alignment stick down. He likes to know where his feet are aimed. Adam Scott's one that's come to mind. He loves to practice with an alignment rod. And I think it's low-hanging fruit, right? It's an easy way to make sure that you're set up, that your feet are aiming where you're trying to go. And then the other thing that I think is really important is, and you can do this with an alignment stick as well, is don't get locked into just being just aiming at one target, right? I think that's something that I see that's very common. A lot of players just get locked into that one target. They hit bucket after ball, the ball after ball, bucket after bucket, and they never really change the target. So I think, yeah, I mean, if you're working on mechanics and you're working on, you know, very specific mechanical things, if you're doing a bunch of drills, okay, maybe stay at the same target. But after you've done that, you want to say to yourself, okay, let's see if any of this is working. Let's see if anything that I'm trying to work on from a drill standpoint, from a technique standpoint, let me see if any of this stuff is actually really helping me in my golf swing. And that's where I think you can go ahead and then say, okay, you can still use an alignment stick, right? You could still take an alignment stick, but go through a variety of different targets because that's always going to help you start to get into game mode, right? I get asked so many times over the course of the year, how do I simulate what happens on the golf course in my practice sessions, right? How do I practice like I'm going to be playing on the golf course? And I think one of the ways that you can do that is golf, I think, tends to get practiced in block practice, right? In repetition. Same golf club, same target, trying to make the same swing over and over and over and over again. And I think that's great if you're working on something specific technique-wise. But I've discussed this in the past. I think you definitely want to break up your practice and do half of what I'll call block practice and half of what I would call random practice. Block practice is, you know, drills, a lot of repetition, working on feelings, working on technique, doing the same thing over and over and over again. You're just kind of drilling in feels, right? If you're working on something with your coach or your instructor, trying to get that backswing a little bit more inside, maybe making the backswing a little bit short, whatever the technique that you're working on, block practice and lots of repetition is great for that. But then in your practice, I think what you also want to do is say, okay, now let me see if any of the stuff that I'm working on actually is really working on the driving range before I go to the golf course, right? Before I get out there and take the test, let me go ahead and practice taking the test. The test is standing up and hitting shots to different targets, moving around on the driving range, not getting locked into one thing. And not getting locked into, okay, if I'm going to work on my golf swing and work golf swing thoughts and technique, that's going to be where I'm doing this in block practice. When I go into random practice and I'm picking new targets and I'm changing up the targets and stuff, you're not thinking about your golf swing there. You're trying to play golf. You're trying to hit shots. Now, if you find you're unable to do what you're trying to do, that's when you shut it down, shut down the random practice, and go back into block practice.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
I really fundamentally believe that most golfers could improve by just practicing smarter and practicing better. And sometimes that's less technique and more kind of targets, more hitting shots, more hitting shapes, more hitting it high, more hitting it low. That's more of the kind of playing of the game, and that's the randomness of the game, right? When you get out on the golf course, let's say you've been doing a lot of block practice, a lot of repetition with a 7 or an 8 iron, and you've just been pounding 7 and 8 irons. Well, if you think about it, you could go to the golf course and it might be 2, 3, 4 holes, depending on where you're playing. It might even be to the back nine before you actually have a shot on the golf course with the golf club that you do the majority of your practice with. So I think everybody has a favorite club, right? And if you are working on technique, if you are working on specific things in your golf swing, yes, I do think it's easier to do that with shorter clubs because they're easier to control. It's hard to work a lot of technique with your driver because first and foremost, you're worried about how far it's going. You're worried about the distance. You're going to swing harder because it's the driver. But I do think it's important also in your practice sessions. It's okay to work with your favorite club, right? Everybody has one. Everybody has, it's for a lot of players, it's 7 iron, it's an 8 iron, something like that. Maybe even a 6 iron, but those are great things to, those are great clubs to use if you're just working on drills and mechanics. But then you have to go, okay, now let me go try, let me do odd numbers, right? So let me go through my bag. Let me give myself 5 shots with all of the odd number clubs in my bag. Pick out my targets, figure out where I want the ball to start for the shape that I'm trying to hit. And let me go through all the odds. So 9, 7, 5, if you carry a 3 iron or a 3 hybrid, something like that, right? After you've gotten warmed up, do that 5 balls with each and pick different targets. So 5 balls with each club and pick out a different target with every ball, right? So you're going to go through all the evens. And then the following day, you could go through the odds, whatever it is. I don't really care, but give yourself 5 shots with each club. So you've got, if you're doing odds, 9 iron, 7 iron, 5 iron, and then 3 iron, you've got 5 with each and go through 5 different targets with each. go through your routine on the driving range with each, and treat each shot like you would treat it on the golf course. So however many practice swings you make, do that. However many waggles you make, do that. But go through your full routine of practice swings, getting behind it, how you walk into it. I think that's really, really important, because I just see a lot of players practicing, and when you're on the driving range, so many golf balls, and if you hit a bad one, you just rake another one over, and hey, I'm just going to use that ball. I hit a bad one, let me fire one over. The other thing that I think is really important is give yourself a pitch count, right? When you're practicing, say, okay, I've done my block practice, right? I've hit however many balls I've needed to hit to try and groove this technique or this theory or this thought or this feeling. Let me go ahead and hit a bunch of balls like that and then say, okay, now I'm going to go for quality over quantity, right? So I'm going to not rapid fire golf balls. I'm actually going to go, now I'm in random practice. I'm going to take now my 7-iron. I've been grinding, working on, let's say I'm working on shortening my backswing and getting the club more in front of me on the downswing, right? So I do my practice work on that, you know, do a bunch of technique drills, do a bunch of feels, do a bunch of different things and say, okay, now let me see if any of this stuff works. So now I'm going to hit 5 shots with my 7-iron and I'm going to choose 5 different targets. Then I'm going to take 5 shots with my 5-iron. I'm going to choose 5 different targets. Then I'm going to take 5 shots with my 3-iron, 5 different targets, right? You're going through your full routine. You're going through how you would approach the golf ball. And then, you know, the other thing I think is really good is on your phone, go ahead and time that and time how long your pre-shot routine is. I think sometimes you'd be really, really surprised. One of the things that I do with players, specifically elite golfers, is I'll look at and I'll film and time their pre-shot routine, how many times they look at the hole, how many waggles they have, and then I'll make them watch that. Most of the time, I think they're surprised at how long it's taking them to hit the ball. I think they're probably surprised as to how many waggles they're taking. One of the things that I see consistently when I'm home with the average golfer is they glance very quickly at the target, stare at the golf ball. Glance quickly at the target, stare at the golf ball, and then just kind of get frozen staring at the golf ball. Whereas you look at the best players in the world glance at the golf ball, stare at the target. Glance at the golf ball, stare at the target. So they're always kind of looking at where they want to hit the ball, because the golf ball is not going to move, right? What are you looking at the golf ball and what are you staring at the golf ball for so much? It's not going to move. You'd be better off staring at your target. So go ahead and video your, from face on, go ahead and video your, how you get into the golf ball and everything you do before you hit the golf ball. And the other thing I'll do is I'll ask players the looks that they're looking at, right? You know, how many looks? Sometimes you'll see players have 3, 4, 5, 6 looks from ball to target, ball to target, ball to target. They tend to be quite quick. I'll ask a player, what actually are you looking for? What are you trying to see? Now, if they're using visualization, if they're trying to visualize where the ball is starting, they're not going to be doing that, right? They're not going to be glancing at the target, staring at the golf ball, glancing at the target, staring at the golf ball. If they're really working kind of their visuals and really want that kind of visual of what the shot's going to look like, they are looking at where they want to start the golf ball. They're looking at where their target is. They're glancing very briefly at the golf ball. And I think that everyone that's listening, if you can improve what you're doing before you hit the golf ball, to me, those are easy wins, right? That's low-hanging fruit. Those are gains that everybody can make because they don't take any ability, right? You could take someone that was blind and deaf and you could put their hands on the golf club. You could set them up to the golf club. You could physically get them into the posture, ball position, posture alignment that you would want them to do. I'm not saying they could be able to hit the golf ball, but you could definitely get them to set up right. And when we're talking about setups, if you think about, let's say you're going to tee off, You're playing, there's a group in front of you, Saturday morning, you're waiting to tee off, so you get to the tee early, and there's a putting green right next to the first tee, and you're watching the group in front of you tee off. Pretty much by looking at the way each individual player, let's say there's a threesome in front of you, and you're going to watch all of them tee off. You're probably making a good evaluation of how long the round is going to take based off of what these players do before they ever hit a golf ball, right? You're probably, so if you watched Rory McIlroy and Rory McIlroy was in the group in front of you, and you didn't know it was Rory, basically by the way, how many practice swings he made, how many looks at the target, how many looks at the ball, his waggles, his movements, his posture, his alignment. If you're watching someone like a Rory McIlroy or a Dustin Johnson or a Scottie Scheffler set up to the golf ball, you're making an evaluation of what the type of player they are based off of how they're setting up to the golf ball and based off of what they do before they hit a golf ball. So if you see a player that kind of has that kind of tour player kind of pre-shot routine to where they're getting behind the golf ball, they're making a couple of practice swings, they get behind their golf ball, they're really kind of focusing in on their target, they walk in. And if you watch them on the golf course, you're probably going to see them do the same thing every time. And the amount of waggles they're going to have are probably going to be about the same. How many times they look at the ball and the target and all that, that's probably going to be the same. So I think if you watch someone, you put a mask over Rory McIlroy and you watched him go through his pre-shot routine, I think you would be shocked if he topped it, if he shanked it, if he hit it 150 yards or sliced it or laid the sod over it or whatever. I think you'd be surprised based off of what was happening before he hit the golf ball if he hit a bad shot. In the same way that you look at that player that's all hunched over and he's got the four knuckles and an elbow grip and he's got the quick waggles and he's not even looking at where he's aiming, his feet are aiming to the right, shoulders are massively open. Everything tends to be kind of quick in the movement pattern, but then they get over and there's a million waggles and there's a million kind of shuffling of the feet and all of that. You're surprised if that person pipes one 290 down the middle of the fairway. I mean, we've all been there, right? So you're making value judgments based off of how good a player is, based off of their grip, stance, posture, and alignment. So if you're doing that and you're looking at the best players in the world and you're looking at the way that they set up and you're looking at it and it seems maybe different than what you do, I think it's really important to go ahead and video that. Video your setup from face on down the line and video, you know, five swings. And then see if anything looks the same. Is the ball position the same? Is the alignment the same? Are the feet in the same place? How many waggles are you making? How many times are you looking at the golf ball? How many times are you looking at the hole? How long are you taking over the shot? And I think if everyone could improve what they're doing before they hit the golf ball, it can make a massive, massive difference in what's happening when you're trying to hit the golf ball. Now, if you've got a great setup, great ball position, great alignment, great posture, and then you have a garbage golf swing, maybe it's not going to help you. But I do think that based off of what I see day in and day out, just specifically on tour, grip, stance, posture, alignment can have a massive effect on how you're hitting the golf ball. And I think that's true whether you're a tour player or you're a regular golfer. But like I said at the beginning, it's not sexy. There's not a lot of Instagram videos on posture. There's not a lot of Instagram videos on ball position and setup. There's tons of those on backswing, laying it down, handle, center of mass. There's tons of all that new stuff that's out there. But I promise you, what you're doing before you hit the golf ball has as much effect on the outcome as anything that you're doing in your golf swing. So posture, setup, alignment, grip, where your hands are at address, where that ball position is. Make sure that you have a good idea of what the basics are before you hit a golf ball when you're hitting your golf ball your best. And if you can have a video record of that, picture reference of that, to where if things get off, you can go, okay, I'm hitting it sideways now. Because as soon as the average golfer starts to hit it bad, they start trying to make massive, massive, massive changes. And sometimes you don't really have to make these big changes. Maybe you just need to move your ball a little bit more forward. Maybe you need to move your ball a little bit further back. Hey, maybe you just need to watch where you're aiming. Maybe you just need to make sure that you don't get too far away from the golf ball, that your head isn't too down. All of these things can be fixed and attended to before you hit a golf ball. And if you can get in the process of making sure that, okay, when I hit a shot offline, I want to be able to eliminate my posture as an issue, my grip as an issue, my ball position as an issue, how far away from the golf ball I was, all of the basics, then you can go, okay, it wasn't my alignment, it wasn't my posture, it wasn't my ball position, wasn't anything that I was doing before I hit the golf ball. So then you have a good idea of saying, okay, if I can tick those boxes off as being issues, then I can start to say, okay, well, the single biggest effect on where the golf ball is going to go is where you as the player present it at the moment of impact. So wherever that face is pointing at impact, that's where the golf ball is probably going to end up. If it's shut, if it's open. But if you can, sometimes I see players hitting really good shots that miss greens and they think it's a terrible shot. And I'm like, that's exactly where you were aimed. And they're like, really? That's exactly where you're in. You were aimed in the right bunker on this par three. Let's go and get you feeling like you're aiming a little bit left of the flag, right? And the player will say, oh, no, no, that's way offline. Then they hit the middle of the green and you show them where they're aiming and they're like, ah, okay. So I don't need to make a massive overhaul in my golf swing. No, you just need to make sure that your basics are good. So maybe not the fanciest, coolest stuff to talk about, but wanted to do a pod on it because it's something that I see both on tour, but at home when I'm giving lessons to regular golfers. Basics, the way you set up the golf ball, massively, massively important. So get a good idea of what your setup looks like when you are playing your best, when you are hitting the golf ball solid. And I do think if you do get off, you can then go check that. And I think you'll be surprised that maybe it's not your golf swing, it's your setup that's causing some things in your golf swing. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. Want to thank everyone for listening. I'm going to keep trying to get good guests and keep trying to give good content to help you with your golf game. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.